This is the BBC.
Hi, it's Scott. Monday's podcast is on. On this one, me on Saturday Kitchen, the Google game throws up some interesting chat about people who love complaining. And in that fast food place, why is the milkshake machine always broken? Why do they have to do it? We've got a new game. Guess the age of your favourite cartoon character. It's all on, starting now. Scott Mills, BBC Radio. Hello, Christopher.
Hey, Scott.
Good to have you back. Are you back for good now?
Yeah. Totally back for good now.
Because, you know, you go and see your other friends, don't you? The filming those extreme festival things, those documentaries you do for the iPlayer.
But that's been a mad experience, but that's kind of done now.
So, yeah.
And there's two that are still going to obviously come out on BBC iPlayer at some point. So, you know, it's the thing I do called the world's most extreme festivals.
Yeah.
I've never really travelled the world before.
Until now.
Until this year. And then I've really gone for it.
I saw a mad thing on your Instagram where you were in, well, above Norway, right?
So I was on the edge of the Arctic Circle in this remote island off Norway.
Yeah. So three planes and a boat?
Three planes and a 10-hour sailing boat.
Wow.
It was, I've never done anything like it.
But I saw you having a rave to Sigrid on the stage and it was like 3 o'clock in the morning or 1 o'clock in the morning and still light.
Yeah, because it's 24-hour daylight there. So yeah, went and had a little rave to Sigrid and then managed to spend some time interviewing her on top of a mountain. She's awesome, by the way, and she loves you.
Does she?
Yeah, proper loves you.
Well, send that love right back. What was extreme about this one? I mean, it looked really good.
Yeah, I think just how far away it is.
Yeah.
Obviously, because it's mad to think that there's a festival somewhere like that.
Yeah.
It was really good to go, and I can't wait for everyone to see it on BBC iPlayer, you know, shortly when it comes out.
Also, we picked this up a bit on the show last week when we spoke to you, but they made you join a gay choir.
I joined a gay choir,
and
only for one song.
Yeah, okay, but the trousers weren't fitting. Do you remember we had you on the show this
right.
week, and I tweeted a picture out, and they weren't going to fit. What happened with the trouser situation? So many people are asking me.
So what I did is I just had to pull my T-shirt over the trousers and just hope that they didn't fall down.
But they didn't even slightly like fit.
No, not at all. So I just had to get on with it.
None of the buttons did up.
I can't wait for you to see the show. You're going to love it.
Scott Mills.
So Chris, I went on Saturday Kitchen on Saturday. Would you rather we not talk about
it?
No,
it's the snake in the room, isn't it? We should discuss it.
Okay. So your absolute favourite show of all time.
I love it.
I did go on Saturday. Obviously, you were not in the country.
Now, be honest. I haven't actually seen you on it, but because obviously I was away. I will catch up.
Yeah.
But be honest, you can say this now that you've been on, you weren't even like a huge fan of the show before, right?
I like it.
You liked it, but you didn't love it.
No, not love. But you know what? They said that we can go on any time. I mean, obviously, we have to plan it.
Do you know how often I hear that?
Yeah, but they do actually really like us. And they were gutted that you weren't there, honestly. I'm looking you in the eye, honestly. Everyone jumped on the snake bandwagon.
I saw you got sent so many snakes.
It was really stressful. I was about to go on, and all I could see, like my whole feed, was just snake emojis.
I know. And also, everyone had added, including me, added Saturday Kitchen on there as well. So you just know that all the bosses there have seen that.
This is because Chris called me a snake last week because I forgot to tell him that I was going on. He thought...
On purpose.
You thought it
was
on purpose. It wasn't.
It was muggy.
Anyway, thank you very much to everyone that jumped on the snake bandwagon on Twitter. Cheers a lot for that.
I've been listening to your show all week. You've been talking about Saturday Kitchen all week. You've been getting a lot of stick, haven't you?
Yeah, a lot of stick.
And for being a snake.
Yeah, I've just checked my Twitter and it's just, all it is snake emojis. Basically, I do the show 1 till 4 on Radio 1 every day.
Yes.
The guy that does the show with me is a guy called Chris Stark.
Yeah.
This is literally his dream to be on this show. And this is the one weekend that he's away filming something in the Arctic Circle and he can't be here. And he thinks that I've planned it on purpose because I forgot to tell him that I was coming on the show.
And to be honest, Chris, if you're going to watch this show, we didn't ask you, we asked Scott.
Yes.
Oh, all right. Shade from Tebbet there.
Tebbet, yeah.
Matt
he's
Tebbet.
A legend, though. I like him.
I know. I did pass on your... you texted me going, he's a Don. So I showed that to him. Actually, I think they felt bad about that, so they have made you an offer.
I mean, we would have invited him.
Right. It's like, Chris, you could have been here. You could have come down. I don't know whether you had got on the show, but you could have come down. But he's gutted because this is the one weekend that he would have like literally
have done
anything to be on here.
Yeah. So, obviously, I had to choose Food Heaven and Food Hell.
Mm.
I went for chicken, which was amazing. We need to talk a bit more about this later because we need to talk about the food tasting situation.
Oh, mate, there's so many questions I've got to ask in a bit.
Not keen on cauliflower or mushrooms. So obviously, you lot voted for hell. So I had to eat that.
Well done, everyone, yeah, by the way.
Thank you very much for that. And then he, Matt slips in a little kind of, I think, an insult to me while he was cooking.
It's so basic. It's so juvenile, but it's basic.
Call me basic.
Just call me basic there. Thanks, Matt.
This is Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
Saturday Kitchen have made you an offer. They said it on TV on the weekend when I was on, so they can't go back on it. Here's Matt Tebbutt. He's one of the presenters and chefs on the show.
Well, I think we're actually going to let him do a report for us.
Yes, yeah. I've heard that.
So he's going to be on the show technically.
Yeah.
So you are going to be on.
That would be amazing, though. I'm just thinking what report I could do, because I assume that we have some kind of creative control on it.
Well, no, I think they'll probably decide what you want to do.
No, but what's the point? Because, what I mean is, like, you can get anyone else to do that. I think if I was going to do a report, it'd be interesting to do something slightly different. So I don't know whether it's about maybe a report on sort of late night food, maybe. That could be good.
Okay.
Because think about it, Scott. When you watch that show, part of the reason you really like it is because you watch that show after maybe a big night out and you see the food. And I don't know, maybe that's part of the feeling and of actually enjoying it. So maybe if I go out and do a report about some late night food places.
No, they wouldn't like
it. Kebab places. Why wouldn't they like it?
Have you not seen the videos? It's all like Nigella and stuff.
Or the other idea, which I thought, I might as well float it now, but it'd be good if it did happen.
They are listening, by the way, so just maybe be careful what you say, otherwise you could really scupper your chances here, mate.
You know the wine guy that's on there that's giving you wine at like 9 in the morning?
Jolly Ollie.
Jolly Ollie.
Hey, oh, bro! I tell you what, it's only $6.99 and it's bloody from Waitrose. Who'd have thought it?
He's amazing.
I got it from Tesco. Can you believe it? £5. He is brilliant.
They were all
so nice.
Because in case you haven't seen this, one of the chefs there makes a meal, then all the guests have to try the food, and then he tells you what wine should be paired with the food every time.
He's brilliant. He's like, wine meals, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
And I was thinking that maybe what I could do is I could go to, I don't know, like Tesco's or somewhere like that, and go to the sort of drink section that there is and make up some different types of drinks. You know, fish bowls.
No, they wouldn't like
Burning
that.
Burning Smurfs, that kind of thing.
No, they wouldn't know. It's not Kavos. They don't want to do that. It's quite a posh show.
Yeah, but it doesn't need to be the whole time.
No, it's true, yeah. Actually, maybe we could bring something new to it. Like, lower the level of it a little bit. But his wines are quite good, and they're like £6-7.
Was there any food that you tried that you didn't like? Be honest.
Cauliflower couscous.
And I take it you didn't make that noise when you ate it.
Yeah, I did, yeah. And that was my food. That was my food hell. I was like, oh, not for me. However,
it's so good. That means the audience generally wanted to see you suffer.
Well, yeah, because of what you were saying last week. Also, the other thing, right? So they make this delicious food. The lady on there, Andy Oliver, who is such a good laugh.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Such a good chef. She made this steak, and I'm telling you, I know everyone says this because you're tasting food on TV. But it was the best steak I think I've ever had. It was just bursting in my mouth. There was a party going on in there.
Did you do the noises on the TV? Because that's what everyone always goes over the top. It's like, yeah, okay, it's a good steak, but you don't need to be like, oh.
But mate, I didn't do the noises because I hate people eating on TV.
Yeah.
And it's not for me. But the best steak. It was honestly the best.
Yeah.
But what they do is they come over like, okay, well, I've cooked it now. So, and the guest tries it. But then the item finishes and then like a production runner takes it away. Yeah. Mate, this is the best steak I've ever had.
Yeah.
Like, I've had one bite. I actually followed the lady going, no, bring that back.
Also,
bring back.
This awesome chef has cooked up a massive meal. You want to finish it, don't you?
Yeah, I wanted a whole lot, but they just take it off.
Yeah, because otherwise you'll be full and you'll be disinterested. Because you know, if you get really full on that show, you don't want to eat anymore. What's the point you being there?
But you know when you eat something, you're like, oh, this is the luscious thing maybe I've ever had. And then someone takes it away.
I'm going to watch it, Baba. It was as good as you thought it would be, Saturday Kitchen.
Even
right?
Better. I absolutely loved it. And thanks for having me, everyone.
Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1.
Let's really drop the snake thing now. It's such a week ago.
Problem is, when you say you're going to drop it, you'll just get more and more snake emoji sent to you. I did actually have a look at the tweets that were getting sent to you during Saturday Kitchen.
It
made me really proud.
All because you threw your toys out of the pram because you couldn't come on the show. It's all fine. Right, okay, a lot of food chat today, but we need to talk about my friend Unlucky Gary, who at the moment is... well, you know when there's... like, food gets bought for the office.
Mm.
So his manager's like... Don't get lunch today. Don't go to a shop. Don't bother because there's loads of food here. And then you feel pressure that you've got to eat it, don't you?
Oh, 100%.
So I messaged him going, well, just eat it. It looks amazing. And it, honestly, he sent me a picture of the spread. It looks delicious.
What kind of food?
Oh, all sorts. Like a lot of meats. There's some samosas in there. It looks awesome. Anyway, I'm like, well, eat it. He's like, I don't want it. I don't know what their kitchens are like. And I was just talking to Mark, who works on the show. Like, he... This is bad because people in the office now are going to hear this. If people, like, bring in cupcakes, let's say, is this bad? Shall I continue? It's fine.
Well, it does happen here, yeah. There's one particular meeting where someone brings in a cake.
All right. Well, the you know, it's homemade stuff, right?
Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, I made it at home. It's a cake or...
Well, no, what I mean is an email goes around saying, okay, at this meeting this week, this department's making the cake.
Yeah. But then Mark will sometimes...
But Mark sometimes eats the cake, which
no,
suggests...
No, he doesn't.
Oh, no, he doesn't eat the cake.
He does not eat it. And now you'll really notice it, because he doesn't know what their kitchens are like at home.
Oh, you see, I thought Mark occasionally ate the cake, but depending on who had made it.
No. It's a blanket... I think it's pretty much a blanket ban.
But what if the person that you know has made the cake looks really kind of clean and everything? Is that... You might have it then.
I mean, it's very rare.
But that's terrible, isn't it? If you're judging the food based on the person.
Yeah. So, Unlucky Gary is there right now, and he's like, pretending I don't like any of it. I'm just going to go to a shop. I hate the pressure of it. I don't know what their kitchens are like. He's really stressed out about it. And they keep going, you're not having any, Gary? And he's like, no, I'm not hungry.
No way. So this is like a regular thing with people, is it? Won't eat food brought in because judging people.
You watch now. We'll get hundreds of messages.
BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
I can't believe how many people are messaging right now saying they look at who's made the food and then judge whether they're going to eat it or not.
I mean, it's really sweet kids being proud of their own creation and that, but you don't know where their hands have been.
Right, so where do you stand on this then?
I'm fine with it. I'll eat anything.
You'll eat anything. So yeah. Will you accept cake? Well, let's judge pop stars then. Would you accept cake from Perry from Little Mix?
Yes.
She's brought in a cake. You'd eat it.
Yep.
Yeah. Adele.
Yes.
Rag and Bone Man.
I don't know. It's the beard.
This is a great game.
Think of all the beard.
So you'd make polite excuses. If Rag and Bone Man said, I've made lunch for the office, you wouldn't partake.
Okay, if he told me he'd made it wearing a beard net.
This is mad.
Also, I'll tell you what else is a thing. People that only go to places where they can see the kitchen. Mm. Loads of people do that. They want to see it being made and they want to see what the kitchen's like. Another tip from someone on Twitter. This is Jess. When they come up to you at work and say, do you want some? I made it. Quick fingernail check. That's what you need to do. Check the fingernails. And then decide for yourself. Our producer here thinks that he could tell who has a clean kitchen and who has a dirty kitchen just by looking at the office.
No one could lie, but I'm telling the truth.
He's looking across now. He can tell who's who.
Wherever I go, there's a shadow of you.
This is
Scott Mills,
BBC Radio 1.
It's the return of the Google game. You know when you type the start of a sentence into the internet, it will give you some options of how to finish the sentence. So we need to work out between us what we think the most popular autocompletes will be. You know how it finishes the sentence for you.
Mm.
So if I type in, what is the best way to, then it will come up with some options. The classic lose weight, revise, sleep, and clean your windows being the most popular answers.
But those are the most popular ones. But in trying to work this out, you sort of empty your own mind, don't you? Because you think to yourself, well, hang on a minute, how would I finish that question?
Absolutely. So we don't know what the sentence is going to be. We're going to get given it now, and then we need to work out what we think some of the most popular autocompletes will be. Can we have the sentence, please?
Is it strange to...
Oh, good one.
Okay, this is a good one.
But this is interesting because everyone has their little strange ways, don't they? You've got loads of them. I'd say you've got more than most.
Someone said this to me at the weekend, actually.
Mm. You do. You just got lots of little Scott Mills ways about things.
Okay, we're going there, are we? So what are my ways?
All right, springs to mind. Is it strange to say, yes, after everything? But it's kind of not that strange anymore because everyone's doing it. But you were doing it for a very, very long time.
Yes. Any more?
There was that time that I caught you licking chips.
Oh, once. Yeah, because I didn't want the calories.
Yeah.
I wanted all of the taste, but none of the saturated fat.
Also, what was worse is they were chips on a table where the couple had just left.
Oh.
To continue their night elsewhere, and they'd left their chips behind. You're like, I'm going to go lick a chip.
We haven't even started the game yet.
Yeah.
So many accusations. Do you know I got a call by my mum at the weekend? See if you agree. Would you say I'm eccentric?
Oh, that's an interesting one. I don't think you're eccentric, because I think a lot of the time you're actually surprisingly quiet, aren't you? You do keep some things to yourself.
I do, yeah.
Not many things, but some things. Like
less and less, I find.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so do you want to start with what you think it might be? And we're working together on this. Is it strange to complete the sentence?
Okay, well, the first thing that comes to my head is something I was wondering the other day as I was eating them. Is it strange to eat fish fingers by kind of removing the top and bottom levels of the kind of batter thing? What do you call that stuff on top of the fish fingers? Breadcrumbs?
Yes.
Removing those upper and lower layers and then just eating the little bits of fish separately.
Well, why not just buy some fish that's not battered? You weirdo.
Mate, I don't know.
That's just fish.
So what I'll do is I'll cook like 15 fish fingers.
15?
Yeah.
Someone's doing well.
Mate, they're getting smaller, I'm sure of it. Why has no one thought of doing like a longer fish finger? Because you've got to cook so many of them.
Right, here's the thing. To save yourself a hassle of that, they have this thing now called fish, and you can buy it everywhere, and it's not in the breadcrumbs, it's just the fish.
Yeah, but I like the breadcrumbs, but I eat it separately. I don't eat the fish finger as like a whole thing. So obviously this is quite strange because you don't do it.
No, I just buy fish.
But Scott, I do it with chocolate bars as well. If I get a Kit Kat, I'll eat both ends of it and sort of nibble the top and bottom away just to be left with a wafer.
Yeah, you're one of them, aren't you?
Yeah, but I don't think many people have typed it into a search engine. I always think people would type in, is it strange too, where it's sort of like, you're not sure if you're allowed to be doing the thing that you're doing. Do you know what I mean? So you type in, is it strange? Like, for example, is it strange to fancy cartoon characters?
Well, yes, it is.
Well, is it, though?
Yes, because they're not real.
Yeah, but sometimes you do.
Okay, well, who
and
do you
sometimes
fancy?
It can be even worse. Sometimes they can be sort of like animals, can't they? With faces on. And then right. I think it gets even more murky.
All right. Okay, well, we're all here to listen, not to judge. So, it doesn't have to be now. It can be in the past. What ones have you taken a bit of a liking to, then? Come on.
Well, I did used to have a 3D poster of Lara Croft on my wall, right? Now, she's not real.
But she's fit.
But she is quite. She's quite hot.
I see what you mean now.
Cinderella, I guess. Like, that's allowed. What is Cinderella's
allowed?
Age, actually? You never question that, do you?
No.
Cinderella age? 19.
What, so she's always been 19?
I don't know. I don't know how it really works. I'm just...
I want
just
that.
Going by Wikipedia here. What,
what? It says on... it says on Wikipedia that Cinderella's 19.
Yeah. Who else do you want me to find out an age for?
Okay. Can you look up how old Pocahontas is, please?
Pocahontas, 21.
Oh. This is a great game.
It's just interesting. You never really think about that.
We can get people on and they can guess the age of cartoon characters. Because I've never even known this before.
Yeah, it's a good idea. I'd like to know the age of the Beast, if anyone knows, yeah. From Beauty and the Beast, so I can work out the age gap there.
If you want to play this game, let me know on 81199. But don't be cheating on the internet.
I know it sounded a bit weird with what I was saying with the animals with faces.
No, not at all.
And I'm not saying I fancy the pig from Babe, but what I'm saying is it's like there probably are people because they make them look a bit more like they got personalities. People must fall in love with the personalities of some of these animals.
Okay, right, I think we should break here. It feels like a natural time to break.
I guess what I'm saying is it's strange to fancy cartoon characters, even the animal ones with faces.
All right, we'll put that into the mix and we'll decide after this whether that's one of the most popular answers. I've got one as well.
This is Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1.
We're playing the Google game on Radio 1. It's next level today.
I should point out, I don't fancy Babe at all. But it's not for me. But I'm saying that the pig with a personality, people will start to like the personality, won't they? Yeah. What other animals are there with faces on?
Can we move off the animals now? So the subject we're trying to finish is it strange to... I've got one.
So what do you think strange, Scott?
Well, this is from the weekend, really. Is it strange to enjoy complaining?
Okay.
So, you know my mate Adam?
Yes, I do.
Does he strike you as a complainer?
No, he doesn't.
No.
Just a very nice guy.
Yeah, super nice. But that all changed at the weekend. I mean, he's still nice, but I mean, he'd been out and then stopped off, like you do, on the way home for some food. But he got really all sort of riled up about this. So he's walking around at about 2 a.m. and sends this complaint to the place. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
To whom it may concern. This is at 2 a.m. I've got to say as well, the spelling and grammar is top notch. Imagine him kind of stumbling around though on his phone writing this.
So he's done a written late night complaint.
Mm-hmm. I have consistently been to McDonald's King's Cross London and on the odd occasional time asked for a McFlurry ice cream and been told each time that they do not do ice creams during the night time. Tonight, I noticed that they have a large display in the centre of their in-store advertising at their point of sale, advertising the McFlurries. Needless to say, this is undoubtedly a breach of advertising standards.
Oh, my word. I love it when people get all formal in complaints. You know the language you use in complaints, which is nothing like how you would talk normally.
Also, Adam, don't think you're a lawyer, babe, so I don't think it is at all. But it did get him really upset, and he felt the need to complain, and he's not a complainer.
But did he enjoy complaining?
He did at the time, and then the next day he woke up and was like, oh, rubbish. But he was saying to me they do actually have a big picture of said ice cream right in the middle of the boards, you know, with all the food on. But then if you go in at night and go, can I have one? They're like, no.
Yeah.
They never have any.
I do think, though, going back to the original point, I do think a lot of people enjoy complaining.
Yeah, I do.
Which makes me think it's not that strange, but you probably do think you're on your own when you're doing it.
But I do think there are people that literally get a kick out of it. Like, they're enjoying complaining,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And
oh,
they
definitely
do it a lot. Also, what makes you think at 2 a.m, right, I'm going to write to the Advertising Standards Commission.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder how many emails they get at that time.
Yeah, I'd like to see the timings of when they get sent. 2:19 a.m.
But do we
discard?
Do we think enough people would have typed this in on a search engine? I'm not so sure.
Okay.
I think it's a bit niche.
Okay. So the one I brought to us is it strange to enjoy complaining? What were yours?
Is it strange to eat fish fingers by sort of nibbling all around the outside, enjoying the little bit of fish on its own?
Oh, yeah, that's... I meant, but loads of people have typed that in.
Or is it strange to fancy cartoon characters?
Yeah.
I think that could be a big one.
Actually, I'm agreeing with you. Let's go for cartoon characters. Let's find out.
Is it strange to travel alone, to talk to yourself, to be sexually attracted to numbers, to go to the movies alone?
Oh, well, the numbers thing isn't a million miles away from what we were talking about. Weird things to fancy.
What, so people fancy, like, number 8?
Yeah, look at the curves on a 6.
Oh, do they? I've never heard of this.
Number 8 is probably the most sort of sexy number.
Yeah, but I'm not being funny. I like a documentary. I would have seen about this on Channel 4. They would have done one by now.
Well, what's your favourite number?
I can't think of one that I find fit. Hmm. 2 actually looks quite good, though.
Yeah, is there something about 2 that you like?
2.
Is it because it looks a little bit like a snake?
Oh, God. Get over it. It's a week ago.
I know. I will get over it now.
Okay, well, our one wasn't in there, but it has, because of this chat, spawned a great new game. Guess the age of your favourite cartoon character. Coming soon to the Scott Mills Show.
Scott Mills.
Right, Shane's been on. He worked for the company we're talking about, where the ice creams are advertised, but you can't get them ever. At night, the staff get told to turn off the ice cream machines, and that's why they're not available. Well, right. Don't advertise them then.
Also, I've wondered this for a while. Why is it that the McDonald's milkshake machine is always broken? Why is that a thing?
At night.
Well, it's not just at night. Often it's like, and I never really question it. They always go, oh, it's broken. I always think it might be just because they're a little bit lazy and don't want to do it. But surely that's not the reason.
No. Oh, okay, Shane's been back on. This is not just that restaurant. There's loads. At night, told to turn off the milkshake machine as well to clean them, but then say to the customers, I'm sorry, they're broken.
There's something going on there, I'm sure of it.
They don't ever seem to be on,
they're
do
always
they?
Broken.
Also, what's the window that you never use on the drive-thru?
That's so true.
Why is there an extra one?
It's like,
what's
yeah.
What's that?
It's so true.
If you've got one, open it. Like, use it.
Yeah, open your curtains up so we can see what's going on in there.
What's in, yeah. What's behind there? What's behind that little window?
What are you hiding?
What are you hiding there? Open your curtains, let's see.
True, it is. There's always a middle window.
Yeah, what's that?
You just drive past it, you don't question it, do you?
Why is there one? Okay, coming up, Guess the age of your favourite cartoon character.
This is a thing.
Scott Mills.
This
is
BBC
Radio 1.
Scott Mills.
Okay, we still have to come. Guess the age of your favourite cartoon character. What a great new game. I like it when we stumble on things just on air, you know? Mm. So that's coming up at about 3:10. Also, I've got music coming from Selena Gomez. She's a bad liar. And Naughty Boy. Hello, Jason.
Hi, guys.
Are you delivering the foods today, are you? The online groceries?
Unfortunately so.
No, don't say that.
It is your job then to break the bad news, I take it, when you can't... Basically, when you don't give the thing that someone's ordered and you have to say that you've replaced it with something entirely inappropriate.
Yeah, it's really embarrassing.
Sorry, madam, we don't have any courgettes, so we're giving you a cucumber. They look the same, is that all right?
Yeah.
That kind of thing, yeah?
Yes, definitely. It is embarrassing.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever had to swap out and it's been completely nothing like the thing that they wanted?
Well, a woman ordered baby powder for their little child and we gave them a living plant.
That's amazing. Then is it your job to try and sell that to them?
I try, but it's quite difficult when you want milk and they give you a green plant. So
who makes that decision? Really, who's the person at the store or whatever who's like, right, they want baby powder, but we're going to give them a plant instead? Who makes that call?
It's all up to a handset, so it's not even a human deciding it.
Right, okay. Oh, I see.
It lands you in a tricky position, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're the one explaining it.
Exactly. They sometimes like are horrible. They sometimes, or they just laugh.
Hey, you're in Torquay. I was down your way yesterday in Devon.
Oh, was you?
Yeah, I was near Exeter in the countryside doing some filming, and I've been bitten. Let me tell you, mate. Also at one point got attacked by some stinging nettles.
I didn't realise that happens anymore.
I didn't realise they were still around, but they are.
Jason, what is your favourite type of music before we do bangers?
It's normally hip-hop or grime.
Okay, cool. Well, this is right up your street then from me. Come on, why would you not want this? Phantom Planet, California. I want to hear this bad.
Well, Jason, I wanted to give you hip-hop, but unfortunately we ran out, so the nearest replacement I could find was this.
Exactly the same as hip-hop.
Yeah, sorry about that, but this is a tune. This is Black Kids, I'm Not Gonna Teach Your Boyfriend How to Dance With You.
Wow. Good one. Both good today. Not what you're after, but you'll get what you're given.
Well... I don't even know if I can comment on them songs, really.
Oh!
Get you!
Get her!
That is a tough decision, though.
Okay, what are you saying there, Jace?
It's going to have to be Chris.
Yeah!
Don't sound so happy about it. Even indie child Greg James just told me that he'd forgotten that.
Is that a thumb up for that one, Greg?
Yeah.
Two thumbs up. Yeah, it's tune. Someone just called me a melt on Twitter. I thought it was a good song.
You melt. It was a bit emotional hearing Phantom Planet California and then like get dangled the carrot and then it doesn't happen.
Yeah,
though.
But it was just the tip. Another time.
I'm putting that back right in there.
Scott Mills.
Guess I'm a bad liar. Selena Gomez on Radio 1.
The noises she makes throughout that, though, it's so over the top. It's like the breathy noises. If she was on Saturday Kitchen tasting the chicken, she would make all of the noises.
So it's a little bit of chicken I've rustled up. Selena, if you'd like to try that.
Sure, I'd love to.
Ooh. Yeah. It would be. All of the noises.
Yeah. It is awkward eating on TV, as I found out on Saturday Kitchen. This Saturday just gone. I just don't like doing it.
Mm.
I don't like seeing other people do it. And therefore, when, I mean, it doesn't happen very often, but when you get a chance to do it, you just think, well, I hate watching this. So you've got your extra self-conscious.
Did I see on Twitter that you were eating sausages as well?
Yeah,
it?
There was a major sausage incident. They're hard to eat on television,
yeah,
as I found.
Right. So did you just put a fork in it and go from one end?
Well,
what did you do?
It's quite nice, actually, because they kind of tailored a whole feature on Saturday Kitchen around this show. So it was called Bangers, like ours is, only ours is with songs. Theirs are with sausages. So I had two bangers.
What?
One in each hand.
What is this?
And two of the chefs had to make up a sauce that you could dip the sausage into, and I had to choose the best one.
Oh, so it's the same sausage. It wasn't that. So you had a situation where you had two chefs each holding a sausage.
No, I'm holding the sausages. I've got
this is mad.
Fork in each hand. Sausage in left hand, sausage in right hand. So I dip them. I dip one into one sauce, one is the other, and I decide which one's best, like our game.
Okay, and each chef had a different sauce. Incredible.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, well, we should play that more often.
But first thing on a Saturday morning, sausage hanging out of your mouth you haven't quite managed to get in. It's not a good look.
BBC Radio 1.
Scott Mills.
Scott Mills. Where?
Okay, a bit of play along in the car or at work or at home fun. It's the cartoon age game, which we came up with earlier by mistake. Didn't even know that cartoon characters had ages until now. Good afternoon, Megan.
Hi.
You right? Do you love a cartoon?
I love a cartoon.
How old are you?
25.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a funny one, this, because there are cartoon characters previously who, it's not that you like properly fancy them, but you do look at them and go, actually, they're all right. A lot of people earlier were saying that they had a crush on Robin Hood, but the animated Fox version of,
yes,
Robin Hood.
I love that.
Kind of see that.
Mm. So who was your favourite? Aladdin? What you said about Aladdin?
Not really.
Not your bag,
not
no?
Really.
Your type.
No, not.
Are you more into like a bad man that you can turn good, like the Beast?
I think so, yeah. I think right. That was more my area.
And what do you think, like, Prince Charming, bit too towy, isn't he?
Yeah.
He is a little bit, yeah, a little bit too, you know, airbrushed.
Overgroomed.
He's the kind of person that would wear trousers, those shoes, but no socks.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, yeah.
Okay, right, so... let's ramp up the excitement now. I've got some of your favourite cartoon characters here. Chris, I want you to play against Megan and...
Okay.
I mean, it's hard to put an age on it, isn't it? On any of them,
well,
so...
yeah, it's...
Let's play the cartoon age game.
Okay.
I suppose closest two wins.
I think so. Megan, first of all. How old is Aladdin?
I'd say 17.
How quite young, you reckon?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Aladdin, 17.
I'm going
good
a bit.
Looking boy.
I'm going a bit older because sort of Prince vibes, wasn't it? So
yeah.
I'm going sort of mid 20s, I think. 25.
25, you're saying? Megan gets the point.
Yes!
You were nearest with 18. Aladdin is 18.
Wow.
Yeah.
You like Aladdin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Aladdin. Okay. How old is Goofy, Megan?
Oh, my God.
Things you didn't think you'd be asked today.
I mean, obviously we'll run out eventually, but this game has got legs, I'm telling you. We could do it again.
I think 13.
Goofy's 13?
You're having a laugh. Goofy's mid-30s.
What are you on about?
I don't know.
I'm sure of it. I'm going 35.
I know one.
Right, so do you really think 13? Is that your answer?
Can I change my mind?
Yeah.
Can I go for 28?
Oh, okay, you've gone higher. And what are you saying?
I'm going to go 35, but desperately trying to hang on to his youth with the sort of hipster look.
Okay. Megan, you're closest again.
Oh, what?
But he is... Goofy's 18.
No,
I'm not having that.
That's not right.
See, okay. I knew I should have said 13. You made me change my mind.
That was the last one. Okay, how old is Disney Princess Rapunzel?
Oh, my God. I should know that. I think it's 50. No, because she's turning her birthday. I think 18, 17.
Okay, you really had to think about that, Chris.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure on Rapunzel. can't even picture her. I'll go 20.
Okay, what was yours, 17?
Yeah.
Megan smashes it again.
Yeah. How old?
18. Scooby-Doo, please, Megan.
Oh, God, Scooby-Doo.
Are we in dog years or human years?
Yeah, we're in dog years.
How's this work?
Let's answer in dog years.
Oh,
shit. That complicates things. Let's just go human years.
Okay.
I think he's 11.
Scooby-Doo's 11. No, right, your human years.
Scooby-Doo's investigating. What 11-year-old is a PI?
Could be.
Okay, remember, we are doing human years, not dog years here, which I think has confused you a bit.
No, kids. I think it's 11. No, you two made me change my mind last time. I'm sticking with 11.
11-year-old detective? What are
mate,
you
he's
about?
A PI. He's investigating.
No. I'll get it wrong.
All right, 11 it is. Chris.
40.
Scooby-Doo. Chris is right.
Come on.
Oh, God.
54 in human years,
wow.
7 in dog years. Okay, Daffy Duck, please, Megan. Be quick.
15.
20.
Oh.
Chris is right, 18.
Yes.
Oh.
And finally, to help answer Chris's earlier question, which is how this all began, how old is Beauty in Beauty and the Beast? No, sorry, Beast in Beauty and the Beast.
Well, Beast is fascinating because I think he's one of those that looks older than he is, like my mate Chango.
Hang on a second. Someone just says Goofy's got a teenage kid. He's 18. That's what we just said.
A little bit Jeremy Kyle.
Okay, the Beast. What age are you putting on it, Megan?
27.
Okay.
Oh, the Beast. No, the Beast must be... Beast has got a castle and everything. It must be older. 40.
40. Megan smashes it again. The Beast is 21. Yeah. 20.
Oh, he looks way older.
21 with a castle? Oh, time hasn't been kind to the Beast, has it?
No.
The Beast has never been ID'd. He'll be one of those.
Yeah, exactly.
Every friend group has their own Beast,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah, never ID'd. All the rest of us are. At the end of that round of the cartoon age game, Chris got 2. Megan, you smashed it. You got 4.
Yes.
I will be looking into the information about Goofy because it must be wrong.
Scott Mills.
Friend Within, Kideko. I love a 90s vocal.
Sweet sensation.
It is. It is kind of like that. I sound more chicken than 90s.
Hello, Greg.
Free from desire.
It's
you sure make me feel like loving you.
That's got to come back. We've got to put a bet on the next big 90s, sort of late 90s dance tune that'll come back. Someone's got to do Strike, You Sure Do.
I do love those 90s vocals.
Yeah, or Dreamer. No.
Yeah.
I'm a dreamer.
Okay, let's stop doing that now. It's highly annoying. Greg James is here, and Chris Dark is so well-travelled since you last saw him.
Oh, yeah. I saw an amazing... Yeah. Like, you're in a canyon or something.
I was in a massive cave, and there was a concert going on in this cave.
Explain why.
It was a little bit Game of Thrones-esque at that point, though. There was sort of some monks in there doing their thing.
Why are you there?
I was there because I'm doing a show for BBC iPlayer called The World's Most Extreme Festivals. So I go and visit some of the... clues in the title, The World's Most Extreme Festivals.
And you can see it on iPlayer. It wasn't that extreme, apart from it took him about, hours
extreme,
to get there.
It was an extreme place to get to. It was extremely expensive when there. It was
World's Most Expensive Festival.
Beers for 12 quid, thing.
Was it Scandi?
Yeah, that's the Scandinavia.
Norway, there you go.
Well, it's an island off Norway.
Did you just say, was it Scandi? And he went, well, yes, Norway. That's Scandinavia,
well, babes. But I'm narrowing it down, babes.
Okay. All right, let's play Real or No Real.
The next Fast and Furious movie will be set in outer space.
We've run out of ideas.
What, you for Real or No Real, or them for the film?
Bit of both.
We don't know. Either way, isn't it? It's one of the two. They've run out of ideas for Real or No Real, or they've actually run out of ideas for the film.
Good idea, though.
Never seen it.
Well, because that film can get ridiculous, but that's kind of the beauty of it.
You've never seen any of them?
No.
Huh.
I know what they are.
No, but I feel like you should have, even by accident, everyone's seen at least one of them, even somewhere.
No, it's passed me by. Hmm. Sorry.
Ironically.
Have you got an interest in watching? Or?
Yeah, no, I've never been... About the cars, haven't I?
It's not really about the cars, though. It's sort of.
No. What is it about then?
Well, it is, but it's just a nonsense
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, okay, but what, if it's not about cars, what is it about?
I mean, it is. It's not sort of like it's not a car show.
What is it then?
Why don't you watch it tonight?
No, watch one of them. Watch the first one.
What is it then? If it's not cars,
you're not bothered, are you?
No,
but it's very different. I know. I can kind of understand why you've never been bothered with Lord of the Rings and stuff like that. Right. But this is a bit different.
Well, no one's offering up anything about what it might
yeah,
be.
Yeah, why? Because I don't think it's a very easy thing to describe without it sounding really rubbish.
Is it quite lads?
Oh, it's a little bit lads.
Ah, it's not for me, then, is it?
It's a little bit sort of... Yeah, it's a bit obvious.
I could see it being in outer space. That's what I'm saying.
You can. Like,
yeah, I can
see it. Yeah, it wouldn't be a surprise. That's what I'm saying. It wouldn't be a surprise if it suddenly was in outer space. Yeah.
Well, maybe I would like it then because it's a bit ridiculous.
Yeah, I think you'd like it because it's quite easy to watch and easy to understand.
Yeah. Okay.
It's kind of the opposite to Lord of the Rings, though.
You
really know,
like, you like films that are just very easy to get. They don't test you.
Yeah.
Think like Crossroads or something like that.
Yeah, I mean,
what was your favourite film?
Is it Britney Spears' Crossroads?
One of them. Clueless, another.
Uh-huh. You see that kind of level? And I think this sort of, even though it's a different genre, it's sort of...
Legally Blonde is good.
Nice. It's quite easy going.
What about You Got Mail?
Oh, awesome film.
Great shout.
All of those. Okay, real or no real, the next Fast and Furious film is set in outer space.
Real.
I'm going to go real.
That one is no real.
Oh. No, but FNF8 director F. Gregory hasn't ruled it out for later installments.
Hasn't ruled it out.
Of course he hasn't.
Because he might need to get that idea one yeah. day. He can't rule it out in case one day he's not got no ideas left. He has to break emergency glass to get the idea out.
The title You've Got Mail really dates it as a film, doesn't it?
You've yeah. got mail.
Ho! When your computer used to tell you you got mail. Ho! And next.
MasterChef judge and famous bald man Greg Wallace can't sleep in his house on the River Thames because disco boats are keeping him awake.
Someone's doing well.
Does he live on the river?
I don't know.
I can see that.
Although, I can.
He strikes me as a kind of like famous raver or like party guy. As in, like, see also, like, this wouldn't annoy him, see also Nick Knowles.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't be surprised if you were in Pasha and you turned around and he had a disco whistle around his neck, would you?
That's what I mean. Like Ian Beale in Ibiza.
Mate. Yeah, get out.
It's that sort. It's the kind of person you say, you never guess who I saw in Ibiza last night.
Yeah.
And it would be a picture that you end up seeing everywhere on Facebook and that.
Yeah.
And it would be...
Sweaty Greg Wallace.
Sweaty Greg Wallace, yeah. Just
and
having
with,
it.
With Nick Knowles and Ian Beale.
Yeah.
In a VIP roped off area.
But I can see that, can't you? So then,
with a bottle of vodka with sparklers coming out of the top.
100.
If that's the case, the disco boats wouldn't annoy him. Although, I've heard he can be quite bitter. So in that sense, maybe things like that do annoy him.
He's opinionated, isn't he?
Yeah. So, yeah, very much so.
He is, yeah.
Oh, I saw John Turode, Celebrity Spotted, today on the way in.
Love
what
him.
Do you mean?
Walking into Boots.
Did you say hello?
No.
It's very hard to know what to say to someone like that, isn't it?
Nothing.
What, because starstruck?
Just observed him. I wasn't starstruck. I didn't drop everything.
So he was in Boots?
Oh, my God, it's John Turode.
Is he all right? What was he getting?
He was walking in. I was walking past.
Oh.
It's not an amazing story, but no. It's a story nonetheless.
But it happened.
But I saw him, and it's true.
Okay, so a lot to go at here. Greg Wallace, does he live on the River Thames? And are the disco boats keeping him awake? Real or no real, Chris?
I can't decide if this is going to be angry Greg Wallace and not liking the disco boats, or party Greg Wallace, who would love them. I'm going to go for the party one. I'm going to go no real.
No, I think he'd be annoyed. I'm amazed that he's a boatman, first of all. But
might be made up.
Oh, I think it's all real. I think he's annoyed about the disco boats. I want to hear more.
That one's real.
Yes, it is. He has tweeted his surprise at the amount of times he's heard Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive in the last couple of weeks because the sun has been out and the parties have been on the Thames. Particularly annoying when he's got his windows open during this hot spell.
Scott Mills.
Hello, Greg.
All right.
You all right?
Just checking how Greg Wallace's net worth.
I love doing net
worth. But don't trust those net worth things, right? Because... if you Google my net worth, it says like I'm a multi-millionaire.
I know.
It's really wrong.
Really wrong.
Have a little look.
Mm-hmm. Look what it says. It's really funny.
Okay, I'll do it.
It says I live in LA.
$2 million fortune.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't think Greg Wallace is that much. I used to see him, he was on my Strictly year, he went out first, and he often was carrying a Lidl bag into the studios.
That doesn't mean anything, Scott. I just seen...
I love a carrier bag, don't I?
Mate of mine just sent me a picture of his kitchen, and it looks massive, but then you would expect that with a chef.
Yeah, but he's spending all the money on that, isn't he? And next.
Pharrell Williams' triplets are so musical that they harmonise when they cry.
Okay. You start.
Because we're happy now.
But they're triplets. They won't know how to harmonise, please.
Yeah, but they might naturally do it.
What, because, like, in the family and that?
Yeah.
They have the triplet thing, like you have the twin thing.
Right. Yeah.
They're just in sync and a musical family, so it could happen. I could see this happening.
We were talking about cartoon characters ages earlier. We did a little game. Did you hear this? No, you were busy, weren't you? You know how old Aladdin is?
No.
18.
Also, get this as well, Greg. The Beast. This is the most surprising thing of all.
The Beast?
The Beast from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, right, yeah.
21.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, so anyway.
He's had a rough life.
Well, I'm just having a Twitter conversation at the moment with, I'll find the name in a second, but she's basically saying, well, hang on a minute, I found all these flaws. Jessica on Twitter, she's basically said, well, that he's been cursed for 10 years before that.
Right.
So someone has cursed a 10-year-old. Yeah. At that point, which is a little bit harsh, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's why it's so old.
There are quite a few things you could pick out from that story. There's a talking clock.
Pharrell is like the opposite, complete opposite of this. That's what I was going to say. Pharrell's like 47 or something. Looks about 25.
There's a candle called Lumiere. There's lots of things you can. How old's Fireman Sam?
Great question.
That's a very good question.
How old's Pat? How old's Postman Pat supposed to be?
Oh, I think he's like well into his 50s.
Really?
Yeah,
he's pretty agile, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he keeps himself together. What about Sam?
Do you want me to have a quick look?
How old's Fireman Sam?
Bear with.
Thank you.
Fireman Sam net worth. Minted.
Oh, he must be the minted. Richest fireman.
Absolutely minted. Doesn't need to work again.
Nothing to do with Pharrell here, guys.
Doesn't need to work again, but just really likes helping out the community.
Do Pharrell's Pharrell's triplets... Do they harmonise when they cry because they're that musical? Greg James, I'll give this to you.
I think yes. And how awful that family must be at dinner, like a Christmas party or something. Everyone just singing all the time.
Very quickly, I can't find Fireman Sam's age or net worth. And I can't even find his last name, which is a mystery to a lot of people.
Sam.
I don't think that's his last name. But I'm going to go Pharrell Williams triplets. I'm going to go no real.
And Greg?
No real.
That one is real.
Yes, they can do it. He told Jimmy Fallon, the US chat show host, that as well as harmonising without realising it, as they've only just been born, his triplets do set each other off. So if one cries, they all do. At the end of that round of real or no real...
I got nothing. Greg got 10.
Yes.
Ah.
Scott Mills.
We're back tomorrow at 1 and getting wet at 1:45, Charlotte Crosby on Innuendo Bingo. Scott Mills.